Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about how to grow in grace. I sense a deep hunger in many of you who write to me, spiritual hunger, wanting to know God, wanting to be a better Christian, to grow in grace. Well, I'm with you. I pray that prayer of Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. I thank God continually for you, and I never give up praying for you, and this is my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the all-glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and the insight to know more of Him, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit which will make you realize how great is the hope to which He is calling you, the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. Have you ever tried praying the prayers from the epistles of Paul? You'll find some wonderful ones there. This one was from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 16 to 19. And I often use these prayers to pray for the people I love. And you people out there who are listening to me are among those people for whom I pray and whom in the Lord I certainly do love, even though I've not met you. Who of us wouldn't acknowledge that we're very far from being mature Christians? Many letters express this, and I brought just one of them along. This lady writes, "I hear you coming on my car radio saying, 'This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.' There are days when I feel as though you might be my only friend. Your book, Discipline the Glad Surrender, is making me consider my life. I've only heard two broadcasts, but I'm interested in the tape series and also the book. I always thought discipline was a nasty word. I never liked to hear it, as it always evoked images of a life void of fun, frivolity, laughter, eating, and everything else I like. I'm willing to give your tapes a try. Perhaps I've been wrong." You see, I do a lot, but it seems my personal life is a mess. And she had given me a long list of all the things she does with her children and with missions and with inner city and with church and school. And it's a long list. And she sounds like a very busy lady. But she says, "My personal life is a mess. I'm overweight. I have problems trying to find time to talk to my husband. And this year, I had the opportunity, believe it or not, to have an affair. I stay up late, even though I must get up fairly early. Regular Bible study is a new thing for me," and she tells about a course that she's taking to help her with that. "Our finances were a mess and still are. We're getting help on that. We have stuck to a budget for 2.5 months and are in an intensive program to get rid of our debts. It seems like all we say to our children is no, 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 no money for anything extra. It will take us 3 years to pay it all off. So my question to you is, how do I discipline myself to get adequate rest, to lose weight, to continue watching finances closely, to say no to attractive extramarital temptation, and to quit procrastinating when it comes to housework?" Well, what can I say? Let me give you what an old Christian named Dr. Oswald Sanders, an old missionary from China, says are the tests of Christian maturity. And I think that these would be good tests for you to apply to your own life, and I think that they will help this woman who's written this letter. The first thing is that you must seek God's glory. Jesus said, as he prayed in John 17, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do." Ask yourself, What am I aiming at? This is a question that I sometimes want to ask my grandchildren. What are you aiming at? What do you want more than anything else in the world? Who is your master? Whose are you? Do you seek God's glory? In that prayer that I prayed for you from Ephesians 1, 16 to 19, we find hope, inheritance, and power. Why am I here? We are here to glorify God. God has given us the hope of a glorious eternity. He has given us an inheritance in Christ. He gives us all the power that we need to do all of His will. We're here to glorify God and, as the old Westminster Catechism says, to enjoy Him forever. And that certainly is biblical. I remind myself of why I am here. I have in my little notebook that I carry around with me when I speak a page in the front that reminds me of what I am here for. How do I seek God's glory in the work God has given me to do? I'm reminded that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am nothing but noise. I'm reminded that there is no question of my being qualified in myself. I cannot claim anything as my own. The qualification comes from God. It is He who has qualified me, us, to dispense His new covenant. John 7:18, if a man aims at the honor of Him who sent him, he is sincere, and there is nothing false in him. I am sobered to realize that I am entrusted with a commission, that I owe it entirely to God's mercy, and that I am no better than a clay pot. The power is God's alone. God reminds me to stop worrying about how I come across, what people may think or say, whether I'm going to get the credit. Stop putting value on the praise of people. Stop thirsting and hungering and lusting for affirmation. Stop looking for rewards here and now. And this is a tough one. Stop shrinking from the judgment of people so that I fear to do what I know is right. It's God's glory that matters. Have we an eye for our own reputation? Do we imagine that we are worthy to speak? I'll never forget when Dr. Helen Rosevier, the missionary from Africa, spoke at the Urbana Missionary Convention. And she had been through some horrifying experiences at the hands of terrorists. I remember how she told us that they had deprived her of her privacy, as she said, the British say privacy, where we say privacy. They had deprived her of her possessions, and they had deprived her of her purity. And when she finished her story, my brother Dave happened to be in charge of the meeting, and he stood up and he said, I was looking through the hymn book for a hymn about suffering, but I turned to Helen and asked her, what would she like us to sing now? And she said, to God be the glory. America worships power, bigness, wealth. We Christians follow one who is crucified. He was crucified, the Bible says, in weakness. Are we willing to accept His weakness? Are we willing that Christ be magnified in our bodies? Well, back to the letter that I read to you. Some of you out there would identify, perhaps with all of the things that she mentions, but at least with some of them. Is your sex life out of control? Are you spending too much money? Are you spending money you don't even have? Are you eating too much? Is your time just jammed? Are you frantic because you feel as though you don't have time? Are you getting the sleep you need? Is your household a mess? Well, it was all a mess in this lady's life. And I would say, follow the advice of the old man, Mr. Sanders. Seek God's glory. Then start doing what God says. We're not just here to feel good about ourselves. We're not here just to get organized, and I hope you don't get the impression that that's really what Elizabeth Elliot is more concerned about than anything else, that you get yourselves organized. We're here to glorify God. If we want to grow in grace, we have to make sure, first of all, that our primary motivation is to glorify God. We carry the death that Jesus died, that we may make manifest in our bodies the life that Jesus lives. He lives in me. If Jesus Christ lives in me, your sex life has got to be brought under his control. If Jesus lives in me, my money has to be committed to him, and the way I spend it has got to be submitted to his scrutiny. If Jesus Christ lives in me, I have no right to overeat. He holds me responsible for what I do to my body. If Jesus Christ lives in me, my time is not my own. My times are in his hands, as the face of a little clock that I have on my desk reminds me. If Jesus Christ lives in me, I must get the sleep that I need. Have you ever thought of sleep as a moral issue? It becomes one, doesn't it, if we're destroying our bodies by not getting the proper sleep. If Jesus Christ lives in me, the order of my household ought to bespeak the beauty of his peace. God will help us to grow in grace if we set our priorities. To God be the glory.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.